Be together this morning to honor our wonderful God and to praise His Son, the Master of ocean and earth and sky, who even this morning is with us in our lives as we serve Him as Christians. And it is our desire this year at Eastside, as David introduced last Sunday morning, to increase our faith in the God who is and in His all-powerful Son as we live day by day in this world. To understand how it is that He can empower us, use us in this world, and take us home to glory. Trust Him at every moment, no matter what may come, and to be stronger and stronger day by day in the faith that saves us and will take us ultimately to glory. It's a wonderful thing to be with you again here this morning, having been away last week in our trip to Guatemala. Jared and I will be talking with you about that tonight, giving our report about the trip, and I hope that you'll come back tonight to listen to that, mainly because I think of the relationship that we share with those brethren down there, and I think you'll want to know more about them and about their desire to serve the Lord and their love for you. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 8. As we again continue to think about increasing our faith, sometimes in our study of Jesus' life and words, we focus on single events, single miracles, or a section of teaching, often without seeing how that particular thing that we're focused on is connected to everything else in that time period of Jesus' life. But today, we'd like to do a little bit more than just look at an isolated event. We're going to, so to speak, roll the tape of Jesus' life for a little while to look at a video clip, not literally, but metaphorically, of a section of Jesus' life, more than just one something that He did or one something that He said. And in doing that, my purpose is to demonstrate, to show you how Jesus was ever working to increase faith in the lives and the souls of His apostles. He was striving in His interactions with them continually to help them to grow their faith. And as we look at this section of Jesus' life today, I think we're going to see some things that will help us grow our faith, but also we'll come maybe to a little deeper understanding of what it's going to take to grow our faith. I listened to the video of David's sermon last Sunday. I thought he just did a great job in introducing our topic and introducing the theme that we'll be focused on a lot of this year. Increased faith in general, is so important for Christians to have. As David says, it's such a powerful thing. It empowers us in so many ways in our service to God. And I hope that all of us will strive this year to grow in our faith, to be stronger day by day in this important relationship with God, and to please Him more and more in that relationship, in our trust in Him. At the point that we're going to pick up the story of Jesus' life in Luke chapter 8, Jesus had already done a lot of miracles. He taught a great many multitudes. In fact, if you just flip back to Luke chapter 6, you'll notice in verses 13 and following, that He'd chosen His apostles already in verses 13 through 16. And then in verse 17, He came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of His disciples and a great multitude, people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear Him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed, and the whole multitude sought to touch Him, for the power went out from Him, and He healed them all. So you see Jesus teaching a great many multitudes, healing an awful lot of people. The apostles are there witnessing those miracles, and this sort of thing continues on in chapter 7. He heals the centurion's servant. He raises the widow's son at Nain. Notable miracles which would have increased and engendered and increased the faith of His apostles more and more as they saw Him do these things, as they heard His teachings. Surely their faith was being increased day by day. More and more, they were coming to believe in Him, not only as the Son of God, but truly as the Savior of the world, the Almighty and the All-Powerful. So we see a lot has been done here to establish the faith of the apostles, to increase their faith already. And so when we come to Luke chapter 8, we see here an event that challenges their faith somewhat and shows that they've still got a long way to go to be what they need to be in trusting in their Lord. Luke 8 and verse 22. It happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water, and they were in jeopardy. And I might say they weren't in the game show. They were in true danger. And they recognized the true danger that they were in. The boat is filling with water, the storm is fierce, and although you have experienced fishermen in the boat, and probably even because you have experienced fishermen in the boat, they realize their peril. And they're afraid. And they come to him and they awake him and they say, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And I'm sure they said that with a lot of conviction in their voice. They felt like the end was near. He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, "Where's your faith?" This faith that he had been working to develop in them. Men whom he trusted so much, he'd already appointed them as apostles. He taught them so much. He'd shown them so much. He'd raised a dead person in front of them. Now they doubt. And now they're afraid. Because there's a storm. Because their lives are threatened. Where is your faith? The faith you had when you saw the miracles. The faith you had when you heard the teaching and accepted that. Now there's a storm. Where's your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him." Here's a storm that measured their faith. Notice that Jesus is in the boat with his disciples when the storm comes. In Matthew 28 and verse 20, one of the last things he ever says to them before he leaves this earth is that he's always going to be with them. He's with us always, isn't he? If we are his, if we belong to him, if we are Christians, surely he's with us always. He was with them in the boat, and yet they're afraid of the storm. We need to understand, first of all, in learning to trust in Jesus, that he is in fact always with us. That whatever power we believe him to have, and we believe him to be all powerful, that power is always there with us because he is with us. And the disciples knew that he was there, he was asleep. But they knew that he was there, and yet their trust in his power had waned. Psalm 16 and verse 8, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." That was the attitude of the psalmist. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter about the storm around us. It shouldn't. If the Lord is with us, we will not be moved. The Lord was with the apostles. Their trust in him, their faith in him, was what was lacking. So they wake the Lord. That's a good thing. When you're in need, when there's trouble, go to the Lord. You know, they didn't try to remedy the situation themselves. They didn't think they could make it on their own. They knew they couldn't. They were perishing. They went to the Lord. And as David noted last week, I think in the lesson, it's in those hard times that we seek the Lord. we're motivated, highly motivated to seek the Lord when the storm is rough. And they do that. There's a psalm, the 107th psalm. There's a section there that I'd like to go back and read to you that I think was almost written to describe the events of Luke 8, 22 through 25. I'm going to pick up the reading in Psalm 107 and verse 21. And what I want you to see as I read through this is this connection between relying on the Lord, trusting in the Lord, come what may, whatever the storms of life are. Here's how it starts, or this section at least, Psalm 107, 21. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. They see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. The amazing things that happen out on the water. Verse 25, for He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. That's exactly where the apostles were, isn't it? In the boat with Jesus in the storm. They saw the wind and the waves, and they were truly at their wits' end. And they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, and He guides them to the desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. As I said, that seems to be written almost a description of what happened in Luke chapter 8. Men see their great need. They see the power, not only of the Lord, but of the jeopardy that they're in. And then they call on Him, and He helps them. They can trust Him. We need to be thankful. Part of growing our faith is to be thankful for how God has helped us through the storms. To recognize what He's done for us in times past. When you look back over your past life and you think about all of the ups and downs, the highs and lows, and many tragedies perhaps that you've endured, sicknesses and loss and various aspects of trial and tribulation in your life, and you realize that the Lord has seen you through all of that. And surely whatever it is that's now, and whatever it is that's in the future, He'll be with you through those storms as well. The disciples turned to Jesus, the one who'd been with them, and they seek His help. He calms the storm. The text says that they are amazed. I suppose we all would have been. God has the power to do things that are amazing. He stills the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. Psalm 65 and verse 7 says. And then He asks them the question, where is your faith? If your faith fails you when you're in the storm, it's really not worth much. Faith that leaves you during a storm is a fair weather friend, a fair weather faith. Proverbs 24 and verse 10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, then your strength is small. We sang the hymn that's based on this event. David led it right before I got up. Master, the tempest is raging. That hymn was written by a woman named Mary Baker in the 1800s. She herself had just gone through a period of great family trouble, lost her brother to death, and her own personal faith was shaken through all of that. She writes extensively about it and explaining the impetus for her writing the song. Not long after that, our nation went through a great struggle when in 1881, our president, James Garfield, was assassinated. And folks didn't know what was going to happen next. There's a good bit of fear in our country, even much more than there is now, I think. You might be interested to know that James Garfield was a Christian, a member of the Lord's body, and that while I don't know much about his personal faith and his standing with God, I do know that he was one who had become a Christian by God's plan. But you might be interested to know that this hymn was sung at several of the funeral services that were held in honor of James Garfield. People were looking for peace in the time of storm. Tempest was raging. It was only by trusting in God, only by faith in Him, that they'd be able to find it. Much the same as today. The storm revealed in Luke chapter 8 the disciples' need for stronger faith. And Jesus calming the storm gave them a reason to have it. There's an awful lot to that, isn't there? Isn't that how life is? The storms reveal our need for more faith. And Jesus helping us through the storms give us a reason to have it. So the longer you live as a Christian, the stronger your faith should become. We look to people who are of age in the Lord, who've lived lives of faith. And we're all this way, aren't we? Even some of the older ones here among us, we look at them and we admire the strength of their faith. I want to tell you what, it didn't get to where it is today. Overnight. They went through a lot of storms. And the Lord saw them through. And they trusted Him. And their faith increased. If you get anything out of the lesson today, I'll get back to it at the end. Get this. Faith increases in the storm. We've made a commitment this year at Eastside to ask the Lord to increase our faith. That is not a gentle request. Increasing faith means going through storms. It's not going to be easy. Don't think that it will be. What I want to show you as this section of Jesus' life continues just quickly is what Jesus does for His apostles. He not only performs this miracle, which is amazing, amazed them, but He does three other miracles shortly hereafter, which are just breathtaking in their nature. They get across to the other side of the sea, and the first thing that happens is this man that's possessed with the legion of demons. You know, he comes out, he's a maniac, if you will, you know, ripping his clothes off, cutting himself one of the, shouting, all that sort of living in the tombs, just a wild man. And Jesus has a discussion with the demons that are within them, within him, the legion of demons. You remember, he sends them off to a herd of swine, and the swine run headlong down a deep cliff and off into the sea and drown. The man is completely healed of this legion of powerful demons who possessed his life. And it was such an overwhelming experience that it frightened even the people of the land. They asked Jesus to go away. We can't have that kind of, that's too powerful for us. The apostles witnessed that. And then Jesus goes back to the other side of the sea with the apostles in the boat. And the first thing that happens is he gets out of the boat and Jairus meets him, ruler of the synagogue. His daughter is grievously ill, and come and heal my daughter. And on the way, there's this woman with the issue of blood, touches the hem of Jesus' garment. And just by touching the hem of the garment, she's healed. The disciples see that. And then they make it back to the home of Jairus, and the girl's gone, but not to Jesus. And as on other occasions, it is as if to him, she is only sleeping. And he brings her back from the dead as easily as we might rouse someone from an afternoon nap. The disciples, again, must surely have been amazed. And we go back to the question in the boat. Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Who is this who can cast out a legion of demons? Who is this who can heal a woman of an issue of blood? She seemed to be incurable. But only with the touch of his garment she was healed. Who is this? Who is this who can raise somebody from the dead as if he were rousing someone from sleep? Tabitha, arise. She gets up. Who is this? Surely their faith was increased, seeing every miracle, understanding every manifestation of the very power of God that flowed through Jesus. Our faith is increased too as we read about these events, as we understand the miracles that Jesus performed. Many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe, that you may have faith, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Jesus then turns back to his disciples, as if to say, okay, fellas, are we any stronger yet? Ready to really handle something? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you my power. The power to perform miracles. And you're going to understand by experience in your life the power that I've got. So he sends them out, gives them the power to perform miracles. He sends them out to teach and perform miracles in Luke chapter 9, and they're very, very successful. Notice in chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick, and they go out and they do that. In verse 10, the apostles, when they had returned, told them all that they had done. They experience the very power of Jesus flowing through them. But then we come to the end of Luke chapter 9. And they're stumped. Jesus had gone up with three of them to the Mount of Transfiguration. He comes down, and it seems that basically the first thing that he's met with is this controversy, this case where a man had brought his son who was demon-possessed to the apostles to be healed, and they couldn't do it. Jesus has a discussion with the man, and again, David referred to that, I think, in the lesson last week. A man who himself wants his faith increased. But I'm looking now at the faith of the apostles, at the faith of everybody involved in this. And I want you to notice what Jesus says in verse 41 as the situation is explained to him. The man says, I implored your disciples to cast out this demon. They could not. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I bear with you? I don't think he's aiming that exclusively at his apostles. I don't think he's exclusively aiming it at the man. What he's saying, though, here is that the problem is a problem of faith. And you're testing my patience by your lack of it. How long shall I bear with you? After all that I've taught, after all that I've done, after all I've shown you, after all I've shared with you, how long shall I bear with you? I'm thinking that getting stronger in faith requires a lot of weightlifting. And the stronger you get, the more weight you must lift in order to maintain your strength and get stronger still. Oh, and if you lift weights after you've gone a while without lifting, you're going to hurt the next day and the next day and the next day. That's what I'm thinking. I guess you could call those heavy thoughts. Unless there is pain, there will seldom be gain in your faith. And so the challenge before us this year is a serious one, like taking up weightlifting. It requires a lot of commitment, willingness to endure some pain, to struggle with the weight, to go through some storms, to go through them with Jesus, to trust His power, to help Him see us through. And when He does, thank Him. You'll wind up stronger in the end. Jesus is there with us in the storms. His power can carry us through. And He shares with us His power. Do we have the faith to use it? James will write in James chapter 1. Contemporary English version reads this way. My friends, be glad, even if you have a lot of trouble. You know that you learn to endure by having your faith tested. But you must learn to endure everything so that you will be completely mature, not lacking in anything. Once your faith increased, get ready to endure. Steel yourself for it. Set your jaw. Determine that you're going to see it through, trusting in Jesus all the way. He'll help you. That's the challenge before us this year. Today I may be talking to a Christian who's going through a storm right now. Maybe you're not faring very well. encourage you to turn to Jesus. If you need prayers for strength today, for help for a trial, something that you've messed up and need forgiveness for, no better time to get that right. Jesus can carry you through. And if this morning you've never begun your voyage with Jesus, why not? You'll never get to that shore, that haven of rest. You never get in the boat with Him. You never name Him as your Savior, baptized in water for the remission of your sins, become a child of God. Live your life of faith. If you're ready for that, He's ready for it. We'd ask you to come while we stand and sing.